Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined by my guy, though it's not in person, it is remotely, Jay Binkley. Bink, we just saw the end of Senior Bowl / Shrine Bowl week, and now I'd say that we are officially on the path to the draft. How you feeling about this?
Yeah, definitely the path to the draft once again. This class has got its wonderments. I'm not 100% sold on this class like others. Class coming up, I really am high on the running backs in this class and a few of the tight ends, but a lot of question marks. It's not the like surefire answers we've had the last couple years in the draft. Obviously, seeing what Cooper DeJean's doing with Philadelphia, and you know we talked about him quite a bit last year. You know, we're playing against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Jalen Carter and these type of guys that people passed on, and then the quarterbacks, you know, like Bo Nix, you know, playing a lot better than I thought he would in this year's draft class. So kind of surprising, but it was fun to watch the Shrine Bowl on Thursday night, the Senior Bowl on Saturday afternoon. You know, of course, the Shrine Bowl, they've got a lot of guys drafted out of that bowl game as well. It's kind of gotten, you know, kind of looked upon the Senior Bowl being the best bowl game, but the Senior Bowl, obviously, you can have juniors now and underclassmen in the game, but I think there's a dilemma. It's definitely a different dilemma than when we first started doing this show a couple years ago, Chris, that a lot of the talent stayed in school. So a lot of those guys in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round that, you know, teams might have, you know, made a reach on, those guys are going back to school. Those guys are going back to school to take a little money and get a little more eligibility, and then, of course, the name, image, and likeness kicking in, the transfer portal, they transfer, they make some cash and stay in and increase their rounds by two or three. So makes a lot of sense, but, you know, as far as NFL draft talent, we don't quite have the depth we've had in the past.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, the depth of this draft is not the best. I still think you can find some gems out there in the later rounds. It's just, it's not nearly as many as we've seen in the past few years. There's not, I don't think we're going to get like a 22 class level of third day picks from the Chiefs, or even like, I don't even know if the Chiefs are going to find someone the way that they did back last year when they were able to get Jaden Hicks early in the fourth round or middle of the fourth round.
You'll see a lot of late round picks, I think, thrown around. They'll be thrown around a lot like water, you know, in trades. The Chiefs value those picks, but, you know, when they got Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round and Trey Smith in the sixth round, is that quality of talent still there like it was a couple years ago? I don't know if it is.
Yeah, I like I said, for me, I think it's going to be a lot trickier. I wouldn't be shocked if you see teams like the Chiefs trade away some of their, like, be a little bit more willing to trade away some picks if a team wants to move up. I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs decided to do business and acquire some picks for maybe next year, because maybe they think next year's class will be a little bit deeper. We'll see. So I want to get to some notes from the Senior Bowl. These came from, like, Matt Miller, works for was it ESPN? And he was down there at the Senior Bowl. The first big thing he heard was that Cam Ward seems to be the favorite among scouts to be the first quarterback taken off the board, which I think me and you both agree he should be the guy that comes off the board first at quarterback.
He's my favorite quarterback all year. It's just composure. Maybe not the strongest of arms, but a very smart quarterback at what he does. But that's definitely, I would say, quarterback one. I know Shadur made a late push for it, and obviously we'll get into Jackson Dart with a lot of guys and scouts thinking he could even possibly get in the first round. I'm sure we'll talk about him, but definitely Cam Ward's quarterback one for me. But the question is, you look at these quarterbacks and say, all right, this is an instant game changer. This team that they draft is going to the playoffs next year, the year after. Can we really definitively say that with these guys? And I don't know we can.
Yeah, and a lot of people really like Cam's leadership abilities. As we talked about on the last week's podcast with Shedeur Sanders, there's some concern about the X's and O's side of it with Shedeur, but the talent is there, and a lot of people like what he can bring there. But, yeah, as you brought up Jackson Dart, quarterback from Mississippi, from Ole Miss, he's a guy that people are kind of split on. Because, like, if you watch him at the Senior Bowl practice last week, I mean, there's some times where he looks really good. He makes some really nice throws, usually in like within 10 yards. But, man, once he's throwing over 15 yards – the ball placement is bad. It's up to – he arcs it a little too high, so it doesn't have the velocity you would need at the NFL level. Like, you know, when I look at Jackson Dart, I don't know how you feel about it, but, like, I tried to find reasons why he could be a first-round quarterback throughout the year. But as the season went along, I think he was giving everyone plenty of reasons why he shouldn't be an NFL quarterback. I mean, a first-round quarterback.
But with this class, you know, it probably will be. I mean, it's kind of an indictment on this class. Remember a few years ago when Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback that went the first round?
Yeah, and it felt like it was a concession. It was like a, well, we need a quarterback. We might as well take one here at 20. You know, that's kind of what it felt like. And well, I kind of feel like that's what it would be with Jackson Dart.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way with Quinn Ewers and his decision. Like, these quarterbacks are like, you know what, this quarterback class is not that good. Let's go ahead and jump into it. That's why, like, I always bring up the Atlanta Falcons, which is interesting to me because they did take Michael Penix and throwing the bag at Kirk Cousins, remember? But they still drafted him, just like when they had Algier and they drafted Bijan Robinson, right? And, like, I want to give the Falcons credit. But I don't know if they – was their foresight thinking, Chris, like, you know what, these quarterbacks next couple years aren't very good. We have a chance to get Michael Penix. Let's go ahead and get him. Because I feel Michael Penix would be number one quarterback taken this year, to be quite honest with you. Did they think that, or was it where they weren't thinking that through? Or were they having the foresight to say, you know what, I don't like these quarterbacks coming out. Let's go ahead and get Michael Penix. So it'd be great if that's what Atlanta Falcons were thinking.
I do think that's what they were thinking. I think because, you know, when we looked at this class this year, it wasn't looking the best. Like, you had guys like Quinn Ewers and maybe a Drew Aller. And I was, you know, we talked about this. And I was like, man, I don't really feel that great about the 25 class for quarterbacks. And, you know, going into the season, really Shedeur was the only guy I felt was a first rounder until we saw Cam Ward. Like, that game where they went out there and they put it on my Gators week one, I was like, okay, I think he's a first round quarterback. But like, him and Shedeur are the only two guys I ever really was like 100% sold that those guys are first round quarterbacks. Everyone else, like Jackson Dart, Quinn Ewers, I thought Jackson, like, he was putting up nice numbers, but like, you watch the tape, it isn't quite there. I've never believed that Quinn Ewers is a first round quarterback. So I mean, I think his tape from the last 2 years proves that. And I think this year he had a great opportunity to show something, and he didn't. I mean, there was a time where he got benched for Arch Manning. So
he did, and then Arch Manning didn't come in and definitely.
He didn't kill it either. So it was like, I'm questioning next year's draft too, because unless Arch takes some major steps forward, I don't know if next year's class is going to be great either.
I mean, there were some things that Arch did though. I mean, he looked good when he was filling in for Ewers, and when he was out a couple games. Like, he looked good, and of course he can run the ball well too. So I'm looking forward to Arch Manning and see what he can do, because I do believe he's got a ton of talent. But the Ewers thing, I mean, it was just like when the Chiefs drafted Xavier Worthy. You know, we went back there and looked, and you saw Xavier like camping out, man. You know, chilling out, waiting for the ball to get to him.
Yeah, he would have to. He'd be wide open down the field, and he would have to cut his route short and come back to the ball because of how underthrown it was. And it was just, and then there was times where he would be overthrown. It's like, how do you overthrow Xavier Worthy? But he would do it because the timing was always off. And it's like, if you can't be a threat down the field as a quarterback, same thing with Jackson Dart. If you can't be a threat down the field as a quarterback, you're going to end up, the ceiling that you have is Alex Smith. And Alex Smith had an issue with deep ball accuracy, and it's the reason why they had to operate within 10 yards when he was here in Kansas City and when he was in San Francisco when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach there.
I mean, it's kind of, Chris, it also goes to show you, you know, when you look at the Texas's numbers and receiving numbers, like, what kind of conclusions do you draw? Like, Matthew Golden could be an end of the first round guy or second round guy. Isaiah Bond there as well. Well, Golden had 58 catches. Bond was hurt a lot this year, but he did have 34 catches. And Gunnar Helm led him in receptions this year, the tight end that I really liked, right?
You love that
guy. He
had
60. Yeah, he did. Gunnar Helm's awesome. The thing is, I mean, what's it really kind of show you about the arm talent of a quarterback and stuff when your tight end is your number one receiver in receptions, second yardage? But it shows you that you probably didn't go deep very often. You went to your kind of money man tight end across the middle.
Yeah, and I think part of that is your deep ball accuracy from your starting quarterbacks. I don't think Isaiah Bond or Matthew Golden are really deep threats the way that Xavier Worthy was when he was at Texas. I don't think they have the game-breaking speed. He's a little bit closer to that, but I still don't think he's anywhere near what we saw from Worthy. He was more of a short yardage guy, you know, catch it on screens and run because he's very slippery with the ball in his hands. So, like, that's where I think he's at his best. Like, I think part of it was, like, the talent, but a lot of it was that your quarterback really wasn't capable of making those kind of throws consistently and tearing up defenses down the field. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I look at this quarterback class this year, and I just see two first-round guys. I know a lot of people are going to try to make the case for Jackson Dart if he looks really good at the combine in a few weeks. You know, maybe even Quinn Ewers if he looks good at the combine in a few weeks. But, man, I'm same thing with, like, Jalen Milroe, too. I think a lot of people are going to try to make the case for Milroe because I think he's probably going to kill it at the combine because he's a great athlete. But
yeah,
you watch that tape, it looks completely different, man. And he looked terrible at the Senior Bowl last week. The Senior Bowl practice, he was not good.
Yeah, there were certain games I was looking at going, man, this is not good pro prospect here, Jalen. This is not real good. And I haven't totally resigned that Cam Ward is going to be that quarterback. You know, Abdul Carter's right there. The edge from Penn State that's got a lot of people wondering. And personally, I think Travis Hunter's the most talented guy in the draft.
It's funny that you say that because one of the things I read is that apparently some scouts down in Alabama, in Mobile, Alabama, this past week, think that Travis Hunter might be a little overrated.
Come on now.
They might think now, first off, I don't think very many people – like it's like pretty split evenly on what people think he is. Like, a lot of people think he's a DB. A lot of people think he's a wide receiver. I think he's a wide receiver. And I think he could be a great wide receiver. I really like his talent as a receiver. I think he'll probably play some corner as well, just because he's got the talent, too. I just don't think if you had a guy with that kind of talent, I don't think you just put him at corner there. But there's some people that think he's a little overrated. And I have seen a lot of mocks where Abdul Carter is the first guy off the board to the Titans instead of Travis Hunter.
Because he's safe.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And Cam Ward would be kind of wild card. Abdul Carter, you know what you're going to get from him. He's going to give you 7 to 10 sacks this year. That's what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get from Abdul Carter. So he's kind of the safe guy when it comes to that. Travis Hunter to me, and the way that he developed from last year to this year, as far as being a receiver, it was unbelievable. I mean, just the kind of separation he can create in his hands that we can go up and get the ball, the way he runs routes. He's an incredible wide receiver. And listen, he's a great defensive back, too. There's a reason why he won awards on both sides of the ball. And Travis Hunter would make interceptions. There was one game against UCF. He caused a game-winning fumble at the end of the game. You know, he knocked it all out LeJarius Sneed in Buffalo. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, in Baltimore.
Against Zay Flowers. Yeah, against Zay Flowers. Yeah, Baltimore. And he did the same thing against UCF. But he's just a winner, man. And you don't have to worry about off-the-field things, too. Like Travis Hunter, he doesn't drink. He doesn't party. He doesn't do anything. He sits at home and plays video games, man.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what he does. I think he's probably the best athlete overall in this class. I really love Abdul Carter. I don't know. Like, if you've listened to the last couple months, like, I've been waxing poetically about Abdul Carter's bend and his ability to get around with speed, but he's also got some power, too, and he's got great length. Like, I love Abdul Carter, but I think if you're the Titans, because, like, even though me and you have been talking bad about Will Levis, I'm not 100% sold that the Titans are done with him right now. I think they might be able to put some talent around him and make him better because he does have a great arm. He just makes a lot of dumb mistakes, you know, which was the story of his season.
And DeAndre Hopkins is in Kansas City for a reason. I mean, they spent a ton of money. Like, it's ridiculous. When you look back at last year's free agency and stuff, can you believe Tennessee should not have been picking first in the draft?
Yeah, there were a lot of people that thought they were going to be one of those sleeper teams to make the playoffs and actually make a run.
Yeah, well, that backfired on them. But, man, it comes down to quarterback play, man. Everybody's searching for that guy. And teams aren't waiting around for it either. I mean, they know they got to get it and get it quick. It's why Sam Darnold in free agency this year will get some cash. Listen, he fell apart down the stretch. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, he did. I mean, at some point, somebody was going to expose him.
He'll get the money, though, because that's how quarterback star of the NFL is. He's going to get the bag. And does he deserve it? No. The team that gets it, gives it to him, I'm sitting there going, okay, is this really the guy that's going to give you the championship? Or is he Alex Smith that can get you through the playoffs? Is he going to win you a ring? That's the question you have to ask yourself. But the bottom line is, this draft's really not going to yield somebody to go out and do it. So guys like Sam Darnold sit out there with the leverage they have because everybody's starving for a quarterback. But does he deserve it? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's probably six teams in the top ten that need a quarterback, and there's only two first round worthy quarterbacks in my opinion. So I think that Sam Darnold, we talked about this at the end of last week's show. I think Sam Darnold's going to get paid a lot more money than he should, because I think we're going to kind of regress a little bit to like the 90s style of quarterback acquisition, where it was like, okay, this really good backup somewhere else looked really good for a few games. Let's go get him and see if we can do something with him. And or in the case of like Darnold, he was a guy that was, I think he probably would have been the starter anyways. But he came in there, he played really well, got that job because of the injury with McCarthy and whatnot. And he played well enough to earn himself, I think, a pretty decent-sized contract, because it isn't a good quarterback draft class. So, I want to get into guys from the Senior Bowl last week that I think are fits for the Chiefs that I think definitely raised their stock from how they performed last week in practice. Starting with Florida State cornerback Azaria Thomas. This is a kid who's 6'1", 191, so you look at the size profile, it's exactly what Dave Merritt and the Chiefs like in their secondary. This guy's got he's a great athlete, great speed down the field. I do think the Chiefs will be in the market for one corner at some point in the draft. I think Azaria Thomas might go late first, but I think he's probably a second-round guy. Another guy I think, and I think you'll probably really like this guy, Texas A&M edge rusher Shamar Stewart. This dude's massive, 6'5", 280. Size of a defensive tackle, but he's an edge rusher. He can play inside. This guy, he can go speed. He can go power. He showed a lot of that at practice last week. I think he's a prime prospect for the Chiefs on defense. Gray Zabel, the tackle from North Dakota State. I know you like those North Dakota State guys.
Yeah.
Gray Zabel was amazing. He looked so good. He's a tackle, but he's probably going to move into guard. He was probably I think he was the best lineman at Senior Bowl practice last week. He didn't lose one-on-one against anybody. Elijah Arroyo, the tight end from Miami. I thought he was the best looking tight end out there at Senior Bowl week last week. I think he would fit perfectly into that wide tight end role that we see Kelsey play a lot. Great route runner. He was beating safeties off the line of scrimmage. Great release. And, Tez Johnson, Oregon wide receiver. I think he'd be a great slot guy. He's probably about second, third round, probably third round. But he's small. He's smaller than Xavier Worthy. It was like 160, I think, is what he weighed in at. But he's a great gadget guy. I think he's one of those guys, you put him in man coverage in the slot, he's beating that nickel back. I really like what they could do with him. Donovan Edwards, your guy from Michigan, Donovan Edwards, he looked really good in pass pro. He can catch the ball,
he
too.
Did.
I like that dude.
Yeah, I do too. And he kind of had damn near yards per carry this year, but
yeah, it was,
I like when
not good as
back.
A runner.
You remember that national title game against Washington?
He ran two touchdown runs
over 50 yards.
Yeah.
But he didn't have very many carries, but he's very good at it. And Armon Mimbau, whichever way
Mimbo,
you want to call it.
Which
way
do you call it?
I call him Mimbo or Mimbau.
Yeah, from Purdue,
I've heard
right?
Missouri. He's a right tackle.
Mizzou. Oh, I'm thinking of a different guy.
So they're saying they're talking maybe some of the best skills for tackle. He was on the Senior Bowl roster, but right tackle. They're thinking he could move inside. So that's good, and I agree with them. You move him to the inside because don't force a tackle to be a tackle. Move them into the inside if you can. Don't be afraid to move guys' positions, because we've seen that this year with Kingsley.
And then one more guy I want to throw your way. I don't know if he's going to be a starter. He's a little small. But there's this kid at UNC named Willie Lampkin. He could play center. He could play guard. He's not big at all. He's about 5'10", about 270 pounds. But he looks good, man. He looked good. I don't know if he's a starter in the league, because you know how these behemoths are on the inside of the D-line. But, like, he plays, he plays with great leverage. He's really strong. Like I said, I thought he did an incredible job considering the fact that he was going against guys that were, like, way larger than him. That's like, those are guys that I thought were the biggest risers that I think would be fits for the Chiefs. Like, Lampkin, I think, would be more of like a backup, versatile guy more than a starter. But, like, I think Donovan Edwards for sure would be a great value for the Chiefs. They could get him late day three, because when you're picking day three in this year's draft, if you can go get him and you get value, like, it's a running back position. I think it's great. Tez Johnson, though, I really like. And I'm a huge fan of Shamar Stewart. Shamar Stewart, I think, if the Chiefs were to go get him and they did not want to bring back Charles Omenihu, which I think they should, but if they choose not to, Shamar Stewart to me is a prime Charles Omenihu type of edge rusher that you can bring in.
Well, and the one thing, too, about Lampkin was, you're talking about a guy that was first team All-ACC and All-American. The one thing about him is he is under 6 foot. That's a concern. And he's under 300 pounds, but you bring him up. But a stud, though. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, you know, back when he was at the Sun Belt, he was, you know, first team in the Sun Belt, first team All-ACC. All the guy does is win. Despite his size, remind you of Ryan Liljan.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. Like, he looks, he's a lot stronger than he looks, a Casey Wigman type. Wigman was about 6'1", 280 when he played for the Chiefs. He was their center back during the Dick Vermeil era, when they had that great offensive line with Roaf and Shields and whatnot, and Brian Waters. He's athletic. He's a guy that I think if you were to have him on your roster, he's a guy that could pull. And if you wanted to go outside zone, he could pull on outside zone, and he could make things happen there because he's very mobile. Like I think there's a lot of good things. You said what?
Well, he's first team AP All American. He's a first team AP All American for a good reason.
Yeah. I thought Lampkin looked really awesome considering his size. Like I said, Shamar Stewart to me is just like, you watch him practice, you watch the film. Like, he didn't have he only had 4.5 sacks this year, but like, power, speed, everything. Like, to me, though, he was a guy, like, if the Chiefs are going to go edge, which I think they should probably take an edge at some point, a guy who's versatile, can play inside, outside, he probably would be at the top of my list for someone that they don't take in the first round. But yeah, I'd say this, Gray Zabel, North Dakota State, that kid, if the Chiefs were to go grab him in like round two, I'm not going to be mad, because that kid, he was so impressive. I think he could be a guy that you could plug and play him at that right guard spot right next to Creed. And I think he'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So I do want to get to guys who didn't quite have the best run in the Senior Bowl, but I still think...
Hey, one thing, Chris, mm-hmm. before we move on. Let's talk about Jack Besh.
Oh, yeah, the wide receiver.
The wide receiver's brother, Tiger, was...
He was at the
Senior Bowl. He was an MVP, but he's 6'1", about 214, 15 pounds. He's a devastating blocker, man. I mean, he loves to stick his head in a block, and the dude catches freaking everything. Can this be like a mid-round guy that I see that does the intangibles, like blocking, great route runner, and extremely good hands, who actually started off as a tight end when he first went to college, even though he's only 6'1", kind of undersized. But, man, you know, props to this kid.
Yeah.
His brother was killed in New Orleans during that when the driver ran over everybody.
Unfortunate. They honored his brother at the Senior Bowl last week. He definitely, like, one-on-one, I think he took some reps at tight end, even though he's undersized for a tight end. I think he took some reps.
He looked good in that role.
He kind of reminds me of a Noah Gray type as far as like pass. He's not like super fast or anything, but he's one of those guys that he can make those difficult catches, and you can throw it up to him, he'll make one of those catches. Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to go like middle of day three and go take him, yeah, I mean, I don't have any issue with taking a guy like that, you know, somewhere later like that. So guys I thought that kind of hurt their stock a little bit, but I still think could be fits for the Chiefs. Starting out with Arkansas edge rusher Landon Jackson, I thought he did not look good when he was trying to speed rush. Like, he was doing one-on-ones against tackles, and he was slipping and getting pushed down into the turf most of the time that he was trying speed rush. Now, when he was going power rush, I thought he looked really good. He was able to push those tackles back right in their chest, which is, I mean, that's what George Karloftis does a lot. I mean, that's what you see with a Minnehue in a lot of situations like that. Like, I still think he could be a fit for the Chiefs, but I think, I mean, there was some talk that he was potentially a late first-round pick. I think he's solidified round two or round three. But I still think he would be a good fit for what the Chiefs are looking for. Another guy I thought kind of disappointed me was Wyatt Milam, the tackle for West Virginia. I talked about that last week. I mean, he moved into guard, and he was really inconsistent. Like, this is a guy that people thought was going to be a left tackle, and he never looked good at tackle in his tackle reps. And as a guard, it was kind of 50-50. Like, I was a little concerned about Milam after that performance.
Yeah, he came in with a lot of, a lot of people talking about him. A lot of people talking about Milam as far as which direction he's going to go. Here's the one thing with the Chiefs. You know they're going to be looking interior and on the outside as well. Yeah. They got to figure out what the hell they're going to do. But, you know, line becomes another priority for this team. I wasn't 100% sold it was going to be with the Kingsley deal, but now I think that they'll be looking at linemen pretty hard.
I think so, too. I think if it's the right situation, but I also wouldn't – I'm not going to put it past them to just stick with Kingsley and try to see if they can do something with him next year. I think the door is kind of open for what they could do with their line spots. One of the guys that was a potential option was Josh Connerly, the Oregon tackle. And he didn't really look that good either. He was getting run. He got run over by Mike Green. I'll tell you this, that Mike Green kid from, was it Marshall? He's probably going to be a late. He's one of those guys that, like, the pre-draft process is going to be very kind to him because he's probably going to kill it at the combine. He's a great athlete. And he's a guy that's probably going to – I could see late first, early second for him. He ran over Connerly. Connerly's a lot bigger than him. And he's like more of a speed guy, but he pushed Connerly in the chest and took him down.
Yeah, he's 6'4", over 250 pounds. Dude's a load, man.
Yeah, he's really strong, even though he's more of a speed guy with the way he goes.
It's an All-American.
And then my last guy that I think – would be a fit for the Chiefs, but didn't quite look his best. I said his name. I've been saying his name wrong. It's Jonah Savainaya, and he's a guard slash tackle from Arizona. He played there with Teteroa McMillan, Noah Fifita. Got a lot of hype as a tackle. A lot of people thought he could be a left tackle in the league, and he looked awful in space. Like, whenever they had him take tackle reps, he looked like Kingsley Suamataia trying to deal with the speed rush. It wasn't working for him. He's got a big frame. He's got long arms, big hands. But the way that he doesn't look like he plays well on the edge, that's a guy I could also see being drafted and moved inside to play guard. If the Chiefs wanted to go get a guy like him on the second day, I'd be cool with that. But certainly, like, he could have played himself into like a late first round tackle spot if he looked good, and he didn't look good there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But the one thing is, I was always careful from tackles, man. It's such a precious position.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take everybody and move them to guard. You know what I mean?
Right. It's one of those positions. Like, not everybody really fits, at a different position. Some of these guys are guys that are just used to playing on the outside. And you put them on the inside, and the fundamentals are very different. How you're playing is very different. So not all these guys can play well in that confined space. But, you know.
And I think that the whole Joe Tooney thing is kind of, you know, skewing people's minds. Listen,
right.
Joe Tooney's working out because Joe Tooney's a special player. Joe Tooney's an all-pro for a reason. He can make that switch to outside. But there's a reason why Andy Reid likes tackles with 34 and a quarter inch arms, right? I mean, there's a reason why they've all been that way. His is 32 1/4. That's why he was so hesitant to move him to the outside. Like, that stuff does matter to coaches.
And he also hasn't played a ton of tackle at the NFL level. It's basically been only in emergency situations that you played him there. So it's like, you got a guy in emergency situations plays left tackle, and now he's got to do it for 70, 75 snaps a game. That's going to be real tough because your muscle memory is playing left guard. Now you're playing left tackle. It's real tough. It's the reason why, like, the Chiefs really like versatility on their line. And so that's the reason why I think guys like Gray Zabel, who can play tackle but is probably better at guard, like, he actually, like, reminds me a lot of Tooney in that regard, where it's like he can play tackle, but he's a hell of a guard. And he's a guy that you could play around. I think he also took some snaps at center, too. Which just kind of plays up the versatility. We obviously know about, like, Hunter Norzad, the guy they got from Penn State, who played all three positions on the line there. So, you know, that versatility is what the Chiefs really like. That's if you're looking for, like, if you're, you know, any listeners are looking to, like, mock a guy to the Chiefs, you probably should be mocking a guy that is versatile and has played multiple different positions in their time in college for whatever school or schools they played for. Because those are the guys that really kind of fit with what the Chiefs want.
Yeah, 100%. So, 100%. The kind of the prototypical guy. I mean, there's a reason why they're sitting in New Orleans. I mean, they have their prototypical type that they watch. But I know that the Wanya Morris not being active at the end of the year, not a great look. And Kingsley, you know, not a great look. But, you know, make no mistake about it. You go back and look at Allegretti and Wiley, you know, just guys. They were starters on Washington this year.
Yeah, they were.
You know,
and Allegretti was good. He was good. Like, last year, late in the season, he was good when he was getting time out there.
Yeah. Wiley's had his issues. But then, you know, you're talking about teams that didn't make the NFC title game. So, I mean, linemen are hit and miss, man, and Wanya been up and down, man. And so, you know, you would like to think you're set with Kingsley, then Wanya behind him as swing tackle. I don't think they're set at all.
I think right now, like, everything's on the table. I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs went out there and spent a lot of money to try to get a tackle in free agency. I haven't really looked at the free agency class for left tackles, but it wouldn't shock me if the Chiefs went with a big-time option, paid someone a lot of money so they just don't have to think about it anymore. But also, it wouldn't shock me if they kind of went the more organic route and let's see if either Wanya or Suamata Ia is actually a starting left tackle. Let's see if we can figure this thing out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me. I think all the cards are on the table right now until they kind of get that figured out. So to close the show, I want to do a mock draft roundup. A view into what the mock drafters around the country have the Chiefs taking in the first round. I want to start with Chris Dodson from the Pro Football Network. He has the Chiefs taking Jonah Savainaya. Again, I don't really see that happening because I think he's a guard, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to take a guard in the first round.
Well, I'm with you, but he's big though. I mean, he's
massive.
340 pounds, but. Again, everybody out there, you know, thinking guard. So it's another one of those guys you move. The guard played right tackle, so I don't know, man.
Yeah, like I said, I think guard's probably his best spot. That was where he's looked the best from what I've seen. Blake Crass from DraftKings has them taking Ohio State left tackle Donovan Jackson. It's an Ohio State guy, so we got to take that with a grain of salt. Veach has never drafted one of those guys.
Take it off the list.
Yeah, so that's – I don't know how credible that one is. Josh Edwards from CBS has them taking ECU cornerback Siobhan Revel Jr. I'll say this. Even though I don't think a lot of people would be that excited about the Chiefs taking a corner in the first round, I would love this pick. Siobhan Revel Jr. at one point was thought to be the best corner in this draft class before he tore his ACL in practice back in, like, what was it, late September, early October. Real, you know, real sad story. I feel bad for him, but this is a guy I still think could be a first-round corner. He's got the good size profile. They like, he's about 6'1", 190, 6'1", 190.
He's bigger than that, dude. He's like 6'3".
Well, that's what they listed him at, but I think he actually came in about 6 foot, 6'1".
They did give him 6'2".
Yeah, because he was at the Shrine Bowl, and they did measurements on him. I think he's around 6'1", about almost 190, about 188, I think is what his weight was. But, like, still, really good size. You know, that, again, that's bigger than, like, Trent McDuffie. That's, like, Ryder. That's a little bit smaller than what Jalen Watson is from a height standpoint. But Shavon Revel Jr. is a guy I would absolutely love if they were to get, because I think he's a really nice prospect. Luis Scataglia from NFL Spin Zone has them taking Omarion Hampton, one of my guys, running back from UNC. I would not like this pick in the first round, but I love Omarion Hampton. And if he were sitting there at, what is it, 64? Or even if they got him at 66, I'd be cool with that. I'd be fine with Hampton.
You know, Hampton's one of the guys that was on both our radars, one of the top three back.
I still have him as a top three back.
Hey, listen, I mean, that's like a Clyde situation. Do you take a running back in the first round? Listen, I think running backs are much better. I really do. I think they're loaded, and I think the depth is there. You know, do you have to wait till the seventh round to get one? I wouldn't. Can you draft one in the third round? Remember, they have 2 third-round picks?
Yep.
That's what I think you go for the running back.
Yeah, like I said, for me, you want to wait to 66 to take one. If he's still there at 66, I'm taking him. I love Hampton. Yeah. I think Hampton is the an Andy type of guy. He would work very well with the Chiefs' inside zone-based offense. So, yeah, I'd be cool with that. Let's see. Another Ohio State guy from Max Dorsey College Football Network, he has them taking defensive tackle Tyleek Williams. Again, let's put an asterisk. Take that with a grain of salt. They've never drafted an Ohio State guy under Veach. Yahoo Sports has them taking Marcus Mbeau from Purdue, who did not have a good Senior Bowl week. He did not look that he didn't look the part for sure. Chris Trapasso from CBS has them taking Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden.
Who really got himself into the first round conversation.
I'm probably out on Matthew Golden here. I'm not buying him as a first round pick. Like, I think this is one of those guys that gets overdrafted and doesn't quite produce. Yeah, I like Golden. To me, I think he's probably, like, if he was in last year's class, I think he's probably a third round pick. Like, I'm not too high on Matthew Golden like that.
Well, the one thing about Golden too is he did lead Texas in yardage, but Gunnar Helm, the tight end, beat him in receptions by 2. He came on strong in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he had the game against Georgia where he had the 8 for 162, and then he had like 73 yards against Texas A&M, and early in the regular season, not in the postseason. The postseason, he had 51 in the title in the OSU game. He had 149 against Arizona State and 49 against Clemson, just 2 catches. But 2 of those games, he just had 2 catches. Just had 2 catches against Clemson, 2 against Ohio State. The Arizona State game, he shined. That was 7 for 149 and touchdown. But the average, though, that's what I really, really like. 25.5, 21.3, and 24.5. That average I liked.
Yeah, and I like that, too. It doesn't feel like Xavier Worthy. It feels like you're just taking a guy because he was a Texas guy. That's just kind of what it feels like. It's like, you know, like I think he's probably more of a mid to late second round, if not early third round guy. I'm not really buying the first round comps for the first round picks for him. Kent Wayrock from Fantasy Pros has them taking Minnesota tackle Ariante Ursary. Ursary was kind of up and down, but he's got the size that I think Andy really likes, that Andy Heck likes on his from his tackles. So, I mean, we'll see how he does at the combine and, you know, pre-draft process. I still think that's probably not a guy I would take. Bucky Brooks from NFL.com has them also taking Shavon Revel Jr., the ECU cornerback. Sam Russell from Bleacher Report has them taking my guy Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan. That would probably be my favorite pick if the Chiefs were to have their pick of the guys I like at 31 or 32.
No problem. No problem with them going defensive line at the beginning. No problem at all.
I mean, we talked about it last year.
I'm in the trade for Myles Garrett. I'm in the trade for Myles Garrett category. Just kidding.
They're not going to trade for him. That's a little bit too it. Watch the Raiders trade for him and trade like a 1 and like 2 twos and maybe a player or something. I would love to get Kenneth Grant. This is one of the things I was harping on last year going into the 24 draft. Like, you need some defensive linemen, especially defensive tackle. And, you know, to me, I was like, you know, there's some options here. You got a bunch of guys on 1-year deals that are, you know, going to be free agents. So you need to
look how you can change your defensive line, Chris. Look at Braden Fisk and Jared Verse and how they changed the Rams
complexion. Fisk was they moved him to the outside, and he was awesome. Jared Verse, awesome. Like, they went and got two rookie edge rushers, and their pass rush was really good.
I know, it changed them.
Yeah, really, Braden Fisk and Jared Verse's arrival in the second half of the season is the reason why they ended up making the playoffs and winning a 100% playoff game. So, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I think defensive tackle's where I'd be looking at the end of the first. Joe DeLeon from the Pro Football Network has them taking Mizzou tackle Armon Membo. Blake Brockmeyer.
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit. Right tackle, they think to play guard. I love his talent.
Yeah, and he's got good size. He's got really good size, really long arms. But again, I don't know if I'm taking Membo first round. I think Membo's probably like late second round. Like, to me, it kind of feels like the Kingsley Suamataia situation, where it's like probably a second round, but could go late first. I think a could go late first tackle is probably a second round tackle. I think if you're taking a could go first round, I'm good on that. The Athletic, they had a couple guys work on this one. Nick Baumgartner and Sam Docterman, I assume is how you pronounce his last name. They both had the Chiefs taking Ariante Ursary from Minnesota. Max Chadwick from PFF has
another
them taking,
left tackle. Yep.
Yeah, Max Chadwick from PFF has them taking defensive tackle Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. I do not think he's going to be there at 32. I think the Chiefs would have to trade up, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to trade up far enough to get him.
I think he's probably the fourth or fifth best defensive tackle.
I think Walter Nolan probably goes top 20 or top 22. So he got a lot of hate. He looked really good last week. Then Kyle Krabs from 33rd team had them taking Tyreek Williams, the defensive tackle from OSU. Again, take it with a grain of salt. And then Christian Buer from SI has the Chiefs taking Jonah Savainaya from Arizona, who's probably a guard but played tackle. And then finally, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com had the Chiefs taking Tennessee edge rusher James Pierce Jr., who, if the Chiefs were to go get him, I would be perfectly cool with this one, too. I would still want Kenneth Grant first, but if they could go get James Pierce Jr., I'm cool with that, too, because I think James Pierce could – I think he was, like, the number one rated edge rusher going into the class, and then he got passed up by some other guys, but I still think Pierce is going to be a really good edge rusher in the NFL.
What if it would be – the one name on there that I kind of like, if you thought of Derek Harmon much at all,
Harmon's a guy that kind of came on late in the season and worked his way up as a late first round option. But I'm not sure he's going to be there at 30. I think you'd have to trade up a few spots to go get him.
I've seen Luther Burden start to slide too.
Me too. Which I was salivating about that. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah had him 32nd on his big board. I was like,
I've seen Nick Gordon going in the late 20s.
I was like, please let Burden fall. If Luther Burden fell to 27, trade up and do what you did with Worthy. If he falls to the late 20s, trade up. And I know what I said earlier about wide receiver. If Luther Burden is sitting there late first round, like 26, 27, you got 66, you send it to whoever, you move up, you go take Luther Burden.
You call Buffalo.
Buffalo, they might do it for that 66. They might actually do it. No,
you know, I saw a mock today from Pro Football Network that had Colston Loveland going to the Chiefs at 32, the tight end from Michigan. That's a little surprising.
I don't think he's going to be there. And also, Colston didn't really, late in the season, he didn't impress me the way that I was hoping. I thought Tyler Warren way outclassed him in the second half of the season. So, I think Loveland Chiefs would probably still have to trade up for him. But, to me, the athleticism doesn't pop for him the same way it does, that it did for Warren. And the same way that it did for Elijah Arroyo at the Senior Bowl week. Like, Elijah Arroyo, who's probably about third round, he looked way more impressive than me than Colston Loveland did as far as, how he would fit into the Chiefs system.
100%. But it's one of those issues, though. If a top talented tight end, which I think there's two of them in this class that I'd, like Gunnar Helm, I would definitely get in a later round, not the first round.
No.
But Colston Loveland, Tyler Warren's going top 10, I think.
I think probably top 15.
I mean, I see him slated a lot, top 14, top 15, but his top 10 pull is getting pretty strong.
Unless, like, if he runs like a crazy 40, like a low 4.5, yeah, I think I think there's a good chance he goes top 10. But I think he's probably going to go top 15. Like, Warren is an incredible athlete, and I think people are going to look at him and they're going to get some FOMO from Bowers last year. I think they're gonna try to go get him. So from a positional breakdown, we got 17 total mocks that we just put out there. One running back, two guards, six tackles, one wide receiver, one edge rusher, four defensive tackles, two cornerback picks. It was one guy, but the big one right now, people still putting offensive tackle for the Chiefs, but a lot more defensive tackle here lately, and even some corner that they're putting in there, even though I'm not sure that first round is where they go. I think probably somewhere day two. You got three picks on day two. I think one of those is probably going to be a corner. One guy I'm really interested in is Denzel Burke from Ohio State. If they were to go Ohio State, they break their trend.
If Ohio State,
Burke would be the guy to me.
Hey, man, you know what? They can do whatever with Ohio State, but when Jeremiah Smith comes out, that's a –
Yeah, no.
Whatever, 2 years
delayed
on that.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I know it's a pipe dream. I don't think it's going to happen. But if Luther Burden were sitting there in the late 20s, man, you got to go get him, because I think Burden is, he would be exactly what they need. He would be that underneath catch and run type. I liken him to like a Jamar Chase type, electric after the catch. I'm surprised he's falling, because you watch that tape, like, the only issue that he had was the fact that Brady Cook was his quarterback, I think, and Cook wasn't the most consistent this year.
And I know it's not going to be popular this year. It wasn't popular last year going receiver. I battled a lot of people back and forth on this,
right,
going receiver in the first round. But I think everybody sees the value of Xavier Worthy making that selection. I mean, he did lead the Chiefs receivers in receptions during the postseason. So it shows you the importance. I can be sold on defensive line. I love that deal. Offensive line picking where the Chiefs are going to pick 31 or 32, I don't
not
like
great.
It. I'll be honest with you, I still like wide receiver, Chris.
I get it. To me, it's like it's got to be the right guy. Like, I don't want to just take a receiver just to take one.
No.
I think day two is probably the better. Again, to me, if you take Luther Burden, you're taking a guy that it's like a Trent McDuffie type situation. He's falling. You don't know why. Let's go get him because we think he's a true, like, he's got an actual first-round grade. Like, I would give him an actual first-round grade if I were putting grades on guys. To me, he's one of the, I don't know, 15, 16 or so that I would give an actual first. Actually, there's probably not that many. But he's one of the guys I would actually give a first-round grade to. He's a guy I would take top 15 if I were a team that was picking there. Like, I really like him that much. So, so next week, I think we should do a mock draft. I think we should do mock draft 1.0.
I think time is here.
I think time is here. I think we've got enough information to be able to do an informed mock draft 1.0. I think after that, we can certainly explore other mock drafts, see what other people are doing. But I think it's time for us to actually do our first full mock draft. We'll do a full 7 rounds. And then from there, we can kind of gauge what the value of these guys are and see where the Chiefs could potentially go, especially on day two, because I think day two is going to be more interesting than day one.
I agree.
So,
Green Bay, Wisconsin, look out, baby.
Yeah, very excited about that. We are about 2.5 months, a little bit over 2.5 months away from the draft. We appreciate you guys listening to us. Make sure you download, subscribe, give us 5 stars on whatever platform you listen to. We always appreciate that. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.